In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
8 o'clock hour here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Bell. We have Chris is already getting it in the back with the fist pump. He's that excited to be in for a sick Peyton Russell. And we got Caitlin gearing up. The fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. Why was Dak Prescott recently in tears? He did an interview with the Dallas Morning News, said he already wasn't playing well enough before he got hurt. And as he watched the Cowboys lose to the Texans, it hurt to see what a disappointing season this is becoming. Quote, the other day after the game, I guess it all just hit me. Boom. Right there, a couple of tears came down. This is going to hurt. It's going to suck at times. You just have to understand this is one of the moments that it does. I don't want anything right now other than to let it suck. It's understanding and being able to voice that. Yeah, I'm blessed to be where I'm at. Off the field, been some of the most joyous times I ever could have imagined, dreamed of. Having a child, getting engaged, starting a family. But then on the football field, it's probably been as tough of a season as I've ever had. I would probably say the toughest. So this is Dak being brought to tears, apparently after the Texans game the other day. What about your own individual play? Not playing up to my standard, turning the ball over more than I have, just uncharacteristic. But at the same time, mentally feeling as well as I ever have about the game, as smart as I ever have, as sharp as ever. Leaving some of those games mentally, it was like, man, I saw it the best and clearest I've ever seen it, but maybe I didn't execute that way or the team didn't execute that way. So Dak feels like it's clicking mentally better than ever. Still didn't translate or get in the results on the field. I know which direction I'm headed in. I know I'll be faster, stronger, and better than I ever have by the way I will attack this.
Yeah, look, it's a little troubling that he's seen the game as good as he ever has. And yet he's having as poor of a season as he is, or as he did.
That is a humongous mind F, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's you're talking about, in addition to that, it's you are starting to get the feeling of like he's breaking down. Like you start to wonder if he's going to be able to sustain this.
So I'm hoping y'all didn't do this topic while I was out, but it was a great question and topic, and we're going to hopefully have a 2.0 fight with Kevin Hagelin at 9:40 in Crosstalk.
We did not do this segment.
Take it away.
Your
topic.
A couple years ago?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. They all run together now. Hagee and I got into quite the altercation during Crosstalk. He was wearing his Duke hoodie. Mm-hmm. It was his contention that Dak was injury prone. And I was like, all right. And I said he wasn't because the injuries that he sustained, the main injuries... Yeah, you know, where he had a thumb injury, which is on somebody's helmet. Obviously, the ankle, which was broke. Anybody would in the same situation would have had the same injury.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. That's so. Now, soft tissue injuries like Miles Austin's groin.
Yeah.
That, to me, is injury prone. But when you have, you know, when you break bones, I don't consider Aiden Hutchinson injury prone because his leg snapped.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think that's right. I don't think that's an injury prone situation. So I took those away. But, you know, the calf, maybe the shoulder towards the end of camp. You know, when he has like
shoulder twice.
Yeah.
Because he had the AC joint sprain at the end of the 19 season.
Right. You know, add the hamstring coming here off the bone.
Calf.
And the calf, right? Now, those could be considered, to me, injury prone. The knee, the, you know, the ankle snap and the thumb, I don't consider that injury prone.
You remember they reached a point with Josh Hamilton where...
Which point?
Yeah,
there's a lot of points.
Several points. But there was a point about with Josh Hamilton where... You know, the injuries were kind of all over, and it was for a very different reason, but what he had done to his body for years before that had kind of broken his body down and just made him more susceptible to injury, a lot of people felt like. And it didn't even necessarily have to be soft tissue or anything else. It was just his body was starting to break down earlier because he had done a lot of abuse to it. Not that Dak has clearly not done that, but it does make me wonder, is he just starting to physically break down in general? Is he just more susceptible? So even though it is a fluky thing like hitting your thumb or other things, like just overall, is his body starting to break down?
Like I can make the case that even the AC joint, if you get tackled on it, again, that's not like the calf where he's rolling to the right and he throws and he strains it on the throw, or this, he strains his hamstring and he rips it up when he's running. That to me is injury prone. Like, you know, it's, but again, breaks, I don't think of breaks as necessarily the injury prone. So perhaps you've got to take another look at this. And maybe he is. And I think I've had a legit discussion about whether Dak is an injury prone guy or not.
I'm officially worried about it. I would try to figure out possible ways to bail out of this. I'm sorry, Bobby. I'm not trying to fight with you. Watching him run is painful.
Laboring.
It is stuck in quicksand. I'm never going to question Dak Prescott's toughness, mentally or physically, ever. That's why James Jones should be ashamed of himself. That was absurd.
Yeah.
That was broadcast crime, what he did, from a spare, too, on top of it. But watching him run... The aches, pains, and now you add the age into it. I'm officially worried about him playing full season.
Looks like you can do it.
He's
Bobby,
31.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Looks like they could do it after next year.
They could start working towards that direction. They could swallow the cap hit easier, but it's still, there's like trigger points along the way where stuff becomes more guaranteed. And so right now it looks like that, but by the time they reach that point, it may be difficult again.
So according to Over the Cap, his cap number next year is 89 million, 89.8. So 90 million is his cap number, but his dead cap is 151 million.
Let me put you in the time machine. Was that everything?
Well, and then real quick, now they could post June 1 of him and make it 61 million, but if they wait until 2025, it is the $61 million. So you get next year out of him and to see what he has. You know, maybe he goes back and has another MVP type season.
I'll ask you, I already know Bobby's answer. I think I know your answer. If you could have the time machine and go back to the extension, what would you do? And you know he got hurt this year. That is all factored in.
Oh, I would have not
signed it.
Not done it the way they did.
Yeah.
And
Bobby, you still would have.
Yeah, I would have done it earlier is what I would have done. But yes.
Okay.
That's fair. I mean, I would have done it earlier, you know, but once they got to that point to the start of this year, I'll let him play it out.
Here's the problem with the way the contract is structured. So when you say something like, okay, well, after 2025, you can get out of it because of the dead money. Right, that's how the dead money looks right now. But the issue is on the fifth day of the league year of 2025, his salary for the year after guarantees. So by the time you get to the end of 25, his 26 salary is already guaranteed. It does the same thing the following offseason with his 27 salary. It all triggers and locks in place a year in advance, and so you don't really have that flexibility to get out of it.
Right, and because they had no flexibility in negotiating it.
Mm-hmm.
Because who's this guy?
Todd France.
You're dealing with a big dog. And he had you by the stones, which we said the entire time, no matter what Jerry and Steven said, and... There you go.
Yeah, you ended up giving up a fourth round pick for it too to create some sort of pretend leverage.
Yeah.
Do whatever you had to do, and it's it's led to this point. Now, look, if they were at a point for themselves because of their window and everything else and them wanting to try and win. If you want to win right now or you feel like there is a window that's closing, you had to sign him. You didn't have time to reset if you want to try to win within this window. And so they had to, and they were locked in financially.
Here's my counter to that. Mm-hmm. These are all these are just theories. I have two theories. No one will ever convince me that if Jerry was 50, he would have signed Dak to the extension.
Oh, I agree.
I think because of Jerry's age, he's terrified of ending up with the Quincy Carter 2.0 run.
I think if he was 70, he might not have done it.
Yeah. My other theory, I don't even know if it's a theory. We need a separate segment on what all in really meant, because Jerry, I think, did a really poor job of explaining it, but it also took us too long to figure it out. What all in really meant was I'm not taking a hit. See, I had the wrong casino analogy. When he said all in, I thought it was, hey, I'm sitting there and I'm gonna go and get every single free agent. All chips in the middle of the table. All right, I'm going for 21. I don't care if I have 19. I'm hitting. That's what I thought. At Windstar, the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys, please game responsibly. What he really meant was, no, I'm not taking a hit. The cards you give me are the cards I'm playing. And once the hand is done, it's a new shoe.
Yeah.
That's what all in really meant. He just had a horrible analogy, I think, he would argue. It wasn't, I'm going to go buy everything, free agent, Wild Wild West, make all the moves, make all the trades. That's what all in means to everyone else. He meant Mike Zimmer, Mike McCarthy,
yeah,
everyone on the one-year deals. I'm going all in for the final time with this group. So when you say for this window, I could argue it would have made sense just to have Dak play out the one. Now, they would have lost him, possibly, probably. But we have two windows here. We have a window that they're talking about closing with all in. And now we have a window of Micah, Lamb, and Dak all re-signed. Well, which window is it? It's as blinding and glaring as the damn sun windows at the stadium. So what's the plan?
The term's pot committed in poker.
Yeah.
Right? He's already committed to the hand. He's going to ride the hand out. Yes. It's the same thing as I'm just going to finish the shoe out. I'm not going to, I've already placed my bet. If I'm going to check here. If you raise me, I'll see it. But that doesn't mean I pushed all my chips in. It's just, he's just pot committed, and that's the problem. Like, they put themselves in this position. Now, it's a good position to be in from the standpoint that they had a couple of free agents that were all coming up. They had the opportunity to get out of them. He could have folded his hand.
Now, Bobby, I'm seeing people say that $100 million can get freed up for this offseason. Is that true? And is it possible? Probable.
You can flip switches and do things with Dak's contract and others and free up that much money. Yeah. But the same question that exists right now in terms of their margins on the cap will then be bloated even further into the future. So yeah, if they want to buy themselves one more year, they can keep saying one more year. And then they get to the point where they're New Orleans, essentially, is the thing. The debate, I don't think, is they clearly are in a tight cap constraint right now. That's the reality of it. The question I think that people need to figure out is, did they get there responsibly or irresponsibly? Did they do it out of like necessity? They had to do these things, or did they get to it because they mismanaged it? Like, there's a difference between something comes up, a big tragedy in your household, and you got to put something $5,000 on a credit card versus just you bought stuff for fun that was $5,000 worth of credit that you built up, and now you have to pay that. Those are two very different ways to get to the same debt number.
I'm not even as concerned about that, because that's done and passed, and we've criticized and killed them for it. I want to know what is the next plan? Because on one hand, you're telling me all in, make or break, one-year deals, but then I got my core, including Diggs, all re-signed while young. Well, Dak's not, but what's the plan?
Yeah, so
what do you think their plan is in this offseason? This coming one.
I think their plan this offseason will look remarkably similar to the one last year. and that they're going to lean pretty heavily on young draftable talent, which is why it was frustrating they gave away that fourth round pick. Now, here was the full quote when Jerry said the all-in thing, which I think has gotten muddied over time because he's used all-in about a dozen different times since then, and it's almost like spiteful at this point the way he uses it.
Yeah.
But the original question was, he was asked about going all-in this offseason. Do you feel urgency to go in all-in this offseason? It was that Senior Bowl, and his exact...
Which right now, when just saying that, is LA Rams.
Yes.
That's what I think. F them picks.
Yes. Which is, he, to his credit, when you look at the full quote, he's being asked a question about going all in on free agency, and he changes the question essentially. But he said, I would anticipate with looking ahead at our key contracts that we'd like to address, we will be all in.
Okay.
And he said, I would anticipate we'll be all in at the end of this year. So when you say, is there any thought, we will push the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It will be going all in on different people than you've done in the past. We will be going all in. So
he's basically saying, I'm going to pay my three guys max money.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying there. I'm going to pay Dak, I'm going to pay Lamb, I'm going to pay Mike up. That is his version or a version of all in.
But he still muddies it by saying...
Then he went into draft picks.
Yeah, because they said it will be going all in on different people than you've done in the past.
What does that mean?
Okay, so that sounds like you're talking about free agency potentially, people that have not been in your building. And so it got muddied. He gave one of his kind of roaming around answers, but when his very first word he said was, looking ahead at our key contracts, I would anticipate we will be all in. Which to him meant, hey, all in is I'm going to spend a lot of money on CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott and get those done. And eventually into the future, probably Micah Parsons.
A team that actually wins in the Metroplex did it again last night. Dallas Stars recap. And why is LeBron taking a big time break? That's next. Then Babe Laufenberg right here on Sean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And RJ.
Dan Coben gets it back behind the net. Flip left side. Shot. Score. Ben. Set up by Stan Coben. The captain doubles the lead and it's 3-1 Stars.
And he continues to make his case for Rookie of the Year. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean, RJ, and Bobby on DFW Sports Station. Stars with a 5-2 win over San Jose on Victory Plus. Logan's 15 points now surpassed his total from last year that he reached in 24 regular season games. And Spittle added the note, you're eligible for Rookie of the Year if you play in 25 or less games. So he just made the cut. Ottinger continues his strong play, lowering his goals against average to .225. The save percentage is .917. Picks up his 10th win and remains undefeated at home. So now they're on the road until Thanksgiving with three games. Starts Saturday night against the Lightning in Tampa. Spits and Suds with the podcast. He may cover the downside. Four more power plays without a goal as they remain one of the worst in the league.
It's almost 31% of games you could play in and still qualify for the Rookie of the Year. That seems high. That seems very, very high. There was a lot of misleading things in this game. Obviously, the score, like you said, because it was 3-2 before the empty netters. But also, that Otter gave up two goals. I mean, one of them was a breakaway, which that's just a tough spot for a goalie to be in anyway. So, I mean, it really was like, that's one true, you know, 5-on-5 type goal. So, all around good performance.
But did you see the insane audio coming out of last night's game, Sean?
Happy birthday, Sean. You're the star of the day. Big house on that.
Oh, is this AI? Hey,
kinda small, but your heart is way too big. When you light up that grill, it's a barbecue jig. Party's out back by the pool, so cramped. Big house got room enough for the whole band. Small hands, but you work that spatula fine. You got the best barbecue this side of the line. Big house, small hands, it's your day, time to dance. Good barbecue, your special stance. Happy birthday, Sean, in advance.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, thank you. That was a good song. That's I thought it was going to be a Spittle Baby bit right there.
No, 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 none of that. This was this was Suno. Yeah, we haven't done a Suno AI song. How old are we now? You're 50?
43, I
close.
Believe. Yes.
Close.
81?
81.
81?
Yeah.
43 years old. 43. So what's the big plan?
For
the birthday.
Nothing, dude.
Nothing? No.
My
not go to dinner?
My daughter, no. No,
I'm this not, weekend?
I don't go out on weeknights. My parents are coming Friday.
Well,
so my wife cleaned the garage spot for me. That was gift one. I got
preliminary
good medical news from the daughter. So
good.
I'll take that. But no, honestly, when you get to like 43, I do have to really think about if I have the years added up correctly to get my age right. I've forgotten it once before. Like I think it was like 37. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what it was, but no, man, I'm in the thick of weeds with the daughter sick at home right now.
So no weekend, just big dinners and drinks and nothing like that.
Not with my parents.
I bet they can.
You'll go to dinner.
I mean, we like cook and go out every other night anyway when they come. So no, man, I'm past it. I'm past the birthday shenanigans. If I didn't have the kids around, then out to dinner and all that stuff, but no.
I haven't got used to saying I'm 35 yet, and I'm almost 36. Like, I keep thinking I'm 34. That happened a couple weeks ago. Ivan, who we were talking to, I had asked Ivan recently. I was like, well, how old are you? He goes, 35 or 36. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And like, he genuinely don't remember. And I had to look it up to see. But happy birthday. You're 43. This is such a special time.
Yeah, such a special
time. Pop that time. Bottle right there, Bob.
Yeah, I'm going to spray this Coke Zero all over the studio.
Oh, excellent. No, I think I was like, I want a nice picture of Ava. I mean, old person gifts. Sad old person gifts. You think you can clean the garage spot for me to park?
Does she have a spot in the garage already?
Oh, yeah.
So she's already in there.
Oh, she's in. She's in. She was in.
Four-car garage?
I think it's three, but it's really two. There's no way you can fit. No. You know, Billy, if you're listening, get the garage fixed. Maybe I can get something else in there. If you ever text me or return my calls.
I just want one garage. I want a garage for one car.
That's right. But thank you, Bob. Nice song with the creativity. AI with music is incredible.
It's special. It's going to, we've got, I think as Will Chambers said when I played him an AI song one time, he said, I think we have 37 months tops. He's like, I don't know why. He's like, that just feels like a nice number for when this is all going to end.
You say it's special. I think it's scary. Will's right.
Who is more delusional, Micah and Diggs for thinking the Cowboys are a damn good team, or Adam Silver? Adam Silver is commenting on why the NBA is off to a slow start with the ratings, the interest. You had Shaquille O'Neal's comments as well. And he said, I know why. We had a World Series. Okay, I guess that's brand new. They just instituted something called the Fall Classic. And the election. Yeah, those are the reasons why. The opening week of primetime games were down double-digit percentage of ratings. So Adam Silver, in my opinion, with his bald head in the sand, not wanting to be honest about the state of the game.
Well, at least he came by the bald head, honestly, unlike John Stamos, as we referenced earlier. No, look, Silver is...
He said there's always some unique things. We're up against a World Series. You had a presidential election that was commanding an enormous amount of attention. So I don't think it has anything whatsoever to do with the style of play on the floor.
Well, NBA opening night was October 22nd.
Yep.
The first World Series game
started 3 days later.
Was 3 days later. So you're not up against the World Series for opening night. Now, if you wanted to say you're up against the World Series coverage, I would also say, I mean, most of your games are on ESPN. ESPN doesn't talk baseball. So you weren't even up against World Series coverage.
So by his math, sorry, Bobby, I cut you off before. What were you saying?
No, I was just saying Silver's whole, Adam Silver is always going to be, like you mentioned, it's the Micah angle of just like, hey, we're pretty good. Like, we've got this figured out. He is the most pro player owner, which there's nothing wrong with being pro player, but it's so deferential that it almost just feels like there's nobody running this thing right now.
I can understand. Like, if you want to make a legit case that the election took away from TV viewership, I could buy that to an extent.
On one night, Tuesday.
Yeah, and even, like, you know, maybe a week or two leading up to it, I could buy it. But he also, the main reason is the players aren't playing. There's a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about injuries if they're real. You know, the problem is, like, is Joel Embiid actually hurt?
Right, we don't know.
What is it?
We still don't know. By the way, Embiid came out and said, quote, whoever leaked that is a real piece of S on the 76ers team meeting in which Tyrese Maxey called him out for being late. And by Silver's math, at least according to basketballnetwork.net, then the number should pick up in week 3, but the data not supporting it. 4 days after the election, Sixers-Lakers fell 27% off last season's comparison. November 13th, Pelicans-Thunder, again Zion, Pelicans injuries, and Lakers-Grizz fell off by 42% and 11%. It's just not that enticing. And again, these guys not playing. What is new? What is refreshing? And who is available? These are problems. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and Shaq says the style of play with too many threes.
Which I agree. There is a little bit of basketball's kind of in its money ball era right now, where in the wake of that Billy Beane, you know, Bill James analytics crusade throughout baseball, they did reach a point where it felt like, okay, that lazy criticism of baseball can't be played on a calculator feels like it has become a reality at one point, where it was like baseball's being played on a calculator almost. And it feels like basketball's kind of gotten to that point where it's like efficiency and we do this and this is the most efficient. They're going to have to evolve off of the style of play that they have right now because it's not sustainable for viewership.
Well, yeah, but you know, shooting threes is more entertaining than waiting around for a home run and just having a lot of I mean, there's no action in baseball. That's a problem. But I think, you know, also the problem is that, you know, if you were to go to the other sports and say who's going to win the title, you're going to get 10 different answers, right? Who's going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you were to ask 10 people who's going to win the NBA title, I bet you 7 or 8 would say Boston.
Right. Yes.
I think that plays into being a problem.
Gilbert Arenas says it's expensive to watch games now. That's the problem. They used to be free, so you got to buy cable for your own teams. Then you have to buy League Pass to get the League Pass stuff.
Is Gilbert talking about 1983? The Bulls were on WGN like in the 90s.
Yeah, but we did have NBC.
It costs
like Jerry says, never leaving network television.
It does feel more difficult to get access to regular national or even local games with the NBA than any other sport.
Yeah. This Mavs stuff right now is a complete pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. It sucks.
You're not sure.
On the DirecTV stream.
Same here.
Well, I know you got the next 3 games. The next 3 games are WFAA that you'll be able to get.
LeBron is taking a break from social media. He responded to Kevin Durant's manager, who was basically saying, "Sports is supposed to unite us. Why do we have to be so negative? Why? Why does it have to be so ugly?" And LeBron basically was saying, "Preach. I'll see y'all later. I'm out of here."
Are you surprised that LeBron James is, "I'm leaving social media," guy, declaring it to everybody? That's always been the person that you knew growing up who's like, "I'm going to delete my Facebook," or "I'm going to delete that." Where it's like, "No, please don't go. We all want to talk to you." Like, LeBron, just leave. Just leave social media. You do not have to tell us you're leaving social media. You can just go away.
It's no coincidence that the moment that this became Dalton Connect's team, that LeBron leaves social media.
Oh, his team.
That's right. His team.
Look, it is negative.
Of course.
Like, it's massively negative.
Yesterday, Atolo sent me the YouTube comments after our Jerry Biden segment, and I was nasty. And if you're LeBron James, you're getting 5 million times more negativity than we get on Twitch, YouTube, or the Fantex.
Be like Windhorst. Be like the guy who followed you around for years. Just don't look at your mentions. You can mute those. You can mute the mentions to only people that you follow. And he doesn't have to see anybody other than the people that he works
That's
with.
That's what he needs to do.
Yeah.
Because I can't sit here and say I would never look at my replies. I would never look at my mentions. And you see people who have comments turned off. No, if you can, because that makes you look soft.
Oh, yeah. If you can post, you got to be able to.
If you can keep it to where the comments are on, but like you don't have to read it and going through it, that's the perfect scenario. And then what is all the Bronny stuff? I'm so tired of this already.
Well, Bronny.
I'm sick and tired of this.
Bronny is so Shams went on McAfee and was talking about the reason that Bronny is not playing on the road is because there's a different level of fanfare around him.
Continue to keep him around the active roster as much as they can, but also he's going to be playing G League home games for right now. So he's going to be shuttling back and forth, practicing with the G League team, practicing with the Lakers, being on the Lakers active roster, playing in the G League home games. Bronny James isn't just your normal everyday G League player for all the reasons we just mentioned. His name is Bronny James, and there are some things with him that just go with it, right? Like there are, I mean, I don't know if it's a security thing, but I mean, there's a different level of fanfare when he's on the road for these G League games, different level of everything when he's with that G League team. So how do you manage that on the road? I don't think the door is necessarily completely shut on him playing in those road games as the G League season goes on. But right now, that is the plan that the Lakers have laid out. And they want him to continue to shuttle back and forth, spend as much time on the active roster as possible. It is very typical for a second-round pick to shuttle back and forth with the G League.
So I just think they don't get it. There is no fanfare around Bronny James. Bronny James, who's paying to go see Bronny in the G League?
Nobody. I mean, if you're going to go to a G League game, it's probably going to be a handful of people that will go, oh my gosh, Bronny's here. But not enough to feel overwhelmed. You're not, right. Who's it? You're not new kids on the block. You're not getting swarmed by the girls, yeah, or whatever else. This shows his career is unserious.
As a former G League announcer, I can tell you that majority of the people that go to G League games they want a cheap way to go somewhere with their kids.
Yeah.
They could take their kids to an experience of a basketball game,
yes,
for essentially a dollar.
Is that what LeBron did by taking them to the G League? He's giving them the experience of a basketball game?
He's stinking it up in the G League, too.
Yeah.
He's not, like, balling out.
You know,
this is a joke.
It's
been a joke.
His arena in college sat about 10,000 people. They averaged 6K a game. I mean, that was in college. Like, and for students, games are like free to get into half the time.
There it is, little hoops roundup here on DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys. Former Washington football player Babe Laufenberg previews the Commanders. And what does he think about all the Deion Sanders coaching talk? Babe Laufenberg joins us next. Let's preview the Commanders with Cowboys color analyst Babe Laufenberg, who does not have his partner in crime, Peyton Russell, today, who is out sick. Babe joining us on the D&M Leasing Hotline here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. Good morning, man. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Great. And you know what that means without Peyton? That means you guys are going to have to be sharp on the trivia question, because that man is a walking encyclopedia of sports knowledge.
Oh, I thought you were going to cancel the trivia. We still have it.
Yes.
No, well, you tell me. It's your guys' show.
No, let's do it.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we know the Commanders have been pretty bad, right, for the last two decades.
Yes.
So they've not won a postseason game since after the 2005 season. They beat the Bucks. It's an 18-season streak, without winning a playoff game. It's the third longest in the NFL. So who are the two teams who have a longer streak of not winning a playoff game? Bobby's going to get this, I'll bet.
Two teams that, like, the streak is active or in history?
Active. Yes, sir.
So it's
active.
05.
So the Commanders are 18 and going, and these two teams.
It's Miami is one.
There you go.
Yeah, they're like 2000, I
and
think.
Then.
Can I throw out Jacksonville?
No.
Chris.
Oh. Chris, stay out of this here.
Chris. Push the buttons.
Jacksonville won 2 years ago.
Raiders?
Look at my guy.
Wow. Yeah.
Look at my guy.
There it is, baby.
Washington's gone 18 seasons. Raiders have gone 21. And then Miami leads the pack at 23. Can you imagine not winning? You know what it's been like here.
Yeah.
23 years of not winning a playoff game.
Babe, does it feel like, I asked Brian Mitchell this an hour ago, does it feel like Washington and Dallas have switched positions in terms of organizational chaos and future?
I would hesitate to think that the Cowboys are where Washington had been under the Danny Snyder leadership, right? I mean, they were a joke. I mean, you could have some fun with this organization maybe, but they're not a joke. They haven't been very good, and certainly this year, but, you know, it's a one-year deal. Now, Washington may go on a 10-year run. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys may go on a 10-year run the other way. But no, but Washington, hey, the ownership change obviously helped. I mean, they become a real NFL franchise. And let's be honest, they weren't. As long as Dan Snyder was involved and in charge, they were not a legitimate NFL franchise.
Where would you put the Cowboys, like, front office compared to the rest of the East?
Oh, you want me to rate them?
Yeah.
I think anybody's ahead of the Giants. Wouldn't you agree?
I would think so.
You could be an expansion team and say, yeah, our front office is a little better. Well, they haven't done anything. They haven't had a draft. We know they can't be worse than these guys, which is amazing because the Giants are one of the, obviously, legacy franchises of the NFL, but they just cannot seem to get out of their way.
Yeah.
I remember Cowboys played the Giants in week 4, beat them up there, pretty much destroyed them. And I said, okay, when we get to the Thanksgiving game, who will be their quarterback and who will be their head coach? So we do have a new quarterback. We'll have another week to see if the head coach will still be the head coach.
Babe,
but it's been a mess.
What did you think of Daniels coming out, and what are you seeing of him now?
You know, obviously a really talented guy at LSU, won the Heisman. You saw his ability. What's interesting, too, I mean, he was throwing the 2 first-round draft picks. I mean, he had 2. And I always think, you know, these guys are going to get to the NFL. Guys like that, right? Or you played with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. on your team. Or at Ohio State, and you're going to say, wow, my receivers in college were better than the guys I have here. So, but I did like him. You know, I could have never, trust me, I'll be the first to tell you, would have never predicted him to do what he's doing. Although I could never predict it for any rookie to come in and just light the world on fire. Now, hasn't been as good the last 4 games. Number of reasons for that. He's got a rib injury. That's difficult to play with. They played better teams these last 4 weeks, or at least better defenses. As much as we have fun with the Giants, their defense is pretty good. And the Bears' defense is really good. You don't realize it because of all the things they do to screw games up. Steelers, Eagles, I mean, they played some good defenses over these last 4 weeks. But, yeah, I mean, certainly the future is bright for him. But I always go back to Heisman Trophy winner, also drafted at number 2 by Washington, RG3. And he lit the world on fire his rookie year. I mean, he came in on Thanksgiving Day to AT&T Stadium, threw for 4 touchdowns. And I sat there in the booth at the end of the game, and I said, man, they're going to have to deal with this guy for the next 10 years. And we saw they didn't have to deal with him for the next 10 years.
The next 10 weeks.
But right now, Jaden Daniels' career and future obviously looks very bright.
Babe Laufenberg, Cowboys radio analyst, joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, babe, so Mike McCarthy was asked about, you know, potentially giving over play calling duties this week. You know, this past game against Houston looked better than the first opportunity out there with Cooper Rush. What do you think we can expect moving forward? Do you kind of see what McCarthy's trying to achieve with some of these play designs and these concepts, or do you think there is a question about maybe he's stretched a little too thin?
Well, I always think good play callers have good players. It's kind of that simple. Like the little slant, little inside route to Kevontae Turpin that goes for, I think, 64 and the touchdown. It's not a great play call. It's just a normal NFL route, and Turpin beats his guy like a drum and gets inside, and he's fast, and off he goes for the touchdown. And I always get tickled when we're watching games, guys, and I will actually record it on my thing and send it to people who know my non-affinity for the great play call. So, you know, you're watching a game, the announcer, usually the analyst, says, oh, what a great play call. Well, it's a great play call because it's worked. And then when they say, oh, that was a bad play call, well, it didn't work. The fly sweep to CD on 4th-and-1, I believe it was Atlanta, the games run together. And it gets blown up, and
they run that every game.
Well, yeah, but sometimes they work. When they work, you say, wow, what a great play call.
Right.
And when they don't, you say, I always remember the great Ernie Zampezi. Cowboys offensive coordinator and longtime NFL guy, guru, if you will. But I'd go up to his office on Fridays when he was the OC here for the Cowboys. They won a Super Bowl, actually, in 96 with him. But I'd go up and we'd go over the game plan. He'd give me everything, and we'd talk football, and it was great. It was great. But he would say, babe, he said, I learned a long time ago, if the play works, it's a good play call. And if it doesn't work, it's a bad play call. And you just got to live with that. I said, okay. And so, but to me, here's the thing quickly. I'm more concerned with the plays you put in during the week. Okay, they're playing us in this defense. How are we going to attack it? What do we have to answer what they're doing? And every defense that you call on every play is built to take something away. But there's a weakness also to every defense. So you have to exploit the weakness in the defense and not let the strength of that defense stop what you're doing, if that makes sense. So to me, I'm not as big on play calling during the game itself. I'm really not. I know a lot of people would disagree with me. I'm big on what did you do during the week to attack this defense. And every defense plays it differently. Pittsburgh, totally different than what they saw from Vic Fangio in Philadelphia. Dan Quinn, different from what you saw there. So it's not like you just go in with your 10 plays every week and run the 10 plays every week. You got to come up with stuff to beat what this particular team does to you.
Babe, has Dan's defense gotten better as the year has gone on, even though they have lost two in a row?
I would say yes, just because of the familiarity with the defense. And, as you get into the defense, believe it or not, I think Zimmer's defense, guys are starting to understand a little more. It hadn't looked great, but it didn't look as bad as it did early on. But, he's definitely got him playing well. He's got some of his guys. I think that's always important. Bring some of your guys with you, the Dorrance Armstrongs, right? Dante Fowler is having a great year. I think he's got 7.5 sacks. So you bring those guys along, and they have something to prove. They want to prove you right, that I want to justify the fact that you put your neck on the line and said, hey, we got to bring these guys in. And that's what they've done. The funny thing is everybody laments, right, the lack of takeaways by this defense. And, hey, Dan Quinn's defense took the ball away. Well, Cowboys have 9 takeaways this year. Washington has played one more game, and they have 10.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the defense. It's if you have guys that know how to take the ball away. Here's the difference, obviously. Washington has 5 giveaways. Cowboys have 20. So therein lies the difference. But, so the takeaway thing, and it's funny, it's just, oh, Dan Quinn's defense takes it away. Well, he does if he has the right players. It goes back to, you're a good play caller if you have good players.
Babe, what do you think about all this Deion Sanders takeover talk?
To coming to coach here?
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely cannot hire him. You absolutely cannot do it.
Why?
No question. Because my son lives in Denver. He went to see you. He is so excited about the Buffs that he would disown me. If they lost Deion, he would kill me. And I would have to tell him, Joe Willie, they don't consult me on these things.
Joe Willie said,
yeah, but you could have said something to someone. I think all of it's interesting. I mean, and here's the thing. In my mind, you guys may differ, but anything could happen. I mean, it could be Deion. Yeah, you saw Witten's name surface. He's been a high school coach. Belichick, he's going to be 75. All these names are going to pop up. And, with this organization, I wouldn't put anything out of the realm of possibility. We'll go back 20 years. I was shocked when Bill Parcells took the job here. Yeah. Shocked. I just said, when it was kind of getting rumored, I said, there's no way Parcells is going to come to work here. Obviously, Parcells came and worked here. To me, though, there's only one name that you could really sell to your fan base. And I think you're going to have to sell something because, as we all know, they're a little disgruntled, and you're going to have 7 more weeks of it. It's not like we just ended the season, and then we'll forget about it. But that would be Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for Detroit.
Yeah.
I don't think there would be anyone that would say,
yeah,
wait a minute, you hired Ben Johnson? Matter of fact, Washington was going to hire him. That was the last job opening. So Dan Quinn, if he had taken that job, Dan Quinn may still be the defensive coordinator here.
Yes.
So that domino effect, when he didn't take the job, then obviously Dan Quinn goes to Washington. And he's doing a great job up there. And it's funny, I spoke to somebody up there, and I know a couple of people, and still, believe it or not, and everybody just loves him. And I said, oh, yeah, they loved him here. I mean, he's a guy that can command a room. I think he's demanding. So there was no doubt in my mind, if they got out of his way, that Dan Quinn would do a good job up there. And he has, clearly.
Great stuff, brother. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. And have a great call. Babe Laufenberg on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Will Eli Manning get in the way of Darren Woodson this time? Final hour, Thursday edition next.